Sports Weekend All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. The qualifying competition for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar resumes Wednesday with two matches in Morocco. In Marrakesh, Sudan will go against Guinea, and in Rabat, Morocco will host Guinea-Bissau. Now, Guinea-Bissau currently leads this qualifying group, Group I, with 4 points from two matches. Morocco has 3 points, Guinea has 1 point, and Sudan has no points. 40 African teams are competing in this stage of the 2022 World Cup qualifying competition. They've been drawn into 10 groups of four each. The 10 group winners will be drawn into five home and away ties. And the winners of those five ties will earn the much coveted ticket to next year's World Cup in Qatar. The African World Cup qualifying competition will continue Thursday when 8 matches are scheduled. In one of the games that day, top of the table Mali will meet Kenya in a Group E encounter in Agadir, Morocco. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye called Nairobi, where he reached the online sports editor with Nation Media Group in Kenya, David Kwalimwa.
Mali are the favorites to get out of the group that involves Kenya, Uganda, and Rwanda. Mali already have beaten Rwanda in Morocco in the first match of the qualification campaign. Remember, Mali have been banned by the Confederation of Africa Football from playing matches at home because no stadium in the country qualifies or has all the qualifications of hosting an international match of this caliber. So Mali did beat Rwanda in Morocco in the first match of the qualification campaigns, and then they went ahead to draw 0-0 against Uganda in Kampala. So Mali are top of the group with 4 points from two games, followed by Kenya and Uganda, which have 2 points apiece, with Rwanda last with 1 point from two games. So heading into the double header against Mali, Kenya as new coach Engin Firat. Remember, Kenya recently unveiled new coach Engin Firat from Turkey. Will be eyeing to ASAP Mali and get into the ascendancy of the table. But for that to happen, Kenya has to at least get a draw away from home in Morocco and then win in Nairobi a couple of days later. This match is taking place on October 7th and 10th, respectively. That's a hard task because Mali are far ahead of Kenya on the FIFA rankings and seem to have the best squad overall, led by Yves Bissouma, the midfielder. You will know him. He plays for Brighton in the English Premier League. Firat, on the other side, has called up a squad of 34 players, which analysts think is so much for a two-week residential training to prepare for this game. And most of the players are home-based players, led by Eric Kapaito. You remember him, the top scorer in the Kenyan Premier League in the 2020-2021 league season, who's just completed a move to Ethiopia. And the foreign-based players are expected to start trickling in this week. But when you look at it overall, the squad of Mali and Kenya, Mali have far much more quality. And Kenya will have to be at their very best to get something from this assignment against Mali, either in Morocco or in Nairobi.
Harambe Stars have 2 points from two matches. Do you think they have good chance under a new coach?
Kenya has never qualified for the FIFA World Cup, and it's already looking a tall order because, as I said, Mali are favorites to top this group and get into the playoffs. So it's going to be a tall order for Kenya, especially with visits to Morocco and Kampala coming in. You will say, ideally, that Kenya lost the chance to take grip of the group by drawing 0-0 against Uganda in Nairobi in a match Kenya should easily have won. And then again, drawing 1-1 with Rwanda in Kigali in a match Kenya scored first. And again, should have won. So those on paper were the easiest assignments for Kenya and a very, very comfortable start for Kenya that Kenya failed to take full control over. As it is right now, games against Mali and game against Uganda in Kampala, it is very hard to see Kenya taking control of the group unless they are at their very best and unless some couple of results go their way. So new coach Engin Firat, who was in charge of Moldova before coming over to Kenya, has his work cut out. But whichever way you look at it, it's hard to see Kenya topping this pool and probably qualifying for the World Cup.
Do you also think that the Harambee Stars will miss former captain Victor Wanyama?
Well, Kenya is unlikely to miss Victor Wanyama, in my opinion, because Wanyama has been part of the national team for the past 16 years. And in those 16 years, Kenya has never qualified for the FIFA World Cup with Wanyama in the team. So his absence and Kenya failing to qualify might not be any different, or will not rather be any different. Actually, his absence and Kenya qualifying could be a difference. So Wanyama's absence, remember as well, he's been out of the team for the last 1 year. He's not played in like four or five competitive matches, including a match at home against Egypt where Kenya drew 1-1, and another game against Togo away in the 2022 Africa Cup of Nations qualifier where Kenya surprisingly won that one. So Wanyama's absence, not quite to be said that, of course, he's got this influential role in the team where he guides the team, he leads the team, and very many players listen to him. Very, very many fans are inspired to watch him play, and the federation as well tend to listen to him more than any other player. But then again, there's Richard Odada, the midfielder who's based in Serbia, who came in against Uganda and Rwanda and played very well. He's only 20, but if anything, he looks set to fill the boots left by Victor Wanyama.
That's David Kwalimwa, the online sports editor with Nation Media Group in Kenya. And David spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Nairobi, Kenya.
Hello, listeners. This is Masembe Isaac, silver medalist from All Africa Games 2019. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In African boxing, Uganda has invited about 700 fighters for national trials. In an interview with Magume Davis Rakawinj, Uganda Boxing Federation President Moses Muhanji said the trials are taking place after a long layoff caused by the coronavirus pandemic.
People need to know that we have not had boxing for about 2 years, and this was because of COVID situation in the country. So there's been a lot of anxiety when will boxing return and all these things. But also because you have spent so much time without boxing, there was also urgent need to always have a national team at play all the time, which we didn't have. The one we last had was 2019. So because of that, it was that kind of urgency. Plus also we're trying to devise means of returning boxing, but in a managed environment whereby we are aware of the situation of COVID. So as a federation, we decided to call for national trials. And this was try and give every boxer a chance who thinks they can be a national team. And everyone was given a chance all over the country. They came, registered, and we've been doing eliminations since a week ago. In total, we got about 700 boxers. So every day we are eliminating one by one. Our target is to remain with four boxers in each weight category. And those four boxers, will use them to introduce a new product called Champions League, which is less busier in terms of number of boxers, because they will have four boxers in each weight category, and they will fight on a system called round robin. So that will be ongoing, like on a weekly basis. We'll have boxing maybe 5 or 10 bouts a week, and this will keep boxing alive as we wait for the country to stabilize in terms of COVID situation.
And does that entail both females and males, or it's only males?
It's both female and males. We have about 57 females that came for the competition, and also the rest are men. So they are all included in these competitions, both at elite level, juniors level, and youth level.
So at the end of it all, how many boxers are we expected to have?
For the Champions League, we expect to have about 312 boxers in total. But also for the Commonwealth Games, we need to have 8 men and 6 women.
We just came out from the the Olympics, where we had three boxers, including a female, for the first time representing us. How do you rate the performance of Ugandan bombers at the Olympics?
The performance wasn't that bad if you're going to compare so many factors. It depends, depending on how you want to analyze the performance. Because for us as a federation, well, we look into the medals, but beyond the medals, we also analyze so many other things. Because this was the first time Uganda presented a female boxer. That's a big success for us. And it was also... It wasn't unique from how we've been performing for the last like 20 or so years, because all the time we go for these games, but we never go past the preliminary bouts. So we have not done bad, given the standards we've been participating on as a country, though we wanted to achieve more. And we didn't get where we would have gotten because of so many reasons. For example, to do with training, because up now we don't have a training facility, which would create a national gym. Our boxers, we are not given a chance to have exposure again. So the funding is not that good, so we didn't have proper or adequate equipment. So all these factors put together, they led into our bad performance. Because for any athlete to win a medal, it takes more than just going to present yourself. You need to have trained better, you need to have a bit of luck, and also individual effort. The challenge is that in Uganda, we go for these games when we're only relying on probably God's luck and individual effort, not about preparation.
The last time Uganda was successful at getting a medal was at the 1980 Games, when John Beast Mugabe won silver. What are you doing to make sure that Uganda does perform better than it's been performing the last 20 or so years?
As a federation, we do our job. Our job is to identify the athletes. That we do all the time. It's the same thing you're doing right now. Ours is to identify and train if given resources. So we need a lot of government intervention to support us to be able to get good trainers from maybe Europe, from Cuba, and all these good countries. Also, we need the government to support us to have more friendly games for our boxers. We need the government to support us to have training equipment. But then the issue of identifying boxers, that we do all the time as a federation. But where we lack is now the support to continue with the training to better our athletes. So there we need to work with the government to understand our challenges as a federation. So it's not that we don't have talent. We have a lot of talent in Uganda for boxing. But the challenge is how do we nurture the talent? And this is where we need a lot of government intervention.
Before we go to talk about Catherine Nanzili representing Uganda again as the first female boxer, in terms of you have identified talent and you're saying you need better coaches probably than those we have, have you taken a step to contact some so that maybe when the government avails resources, money, then you can be able to recruit the coaches?
Yes, we have so many friends from Kazakhstan, from Cuba, that we can always talk to. By virtue of my position as an international boxing technical person, I meet all these people, and also my position at AIBA. So we are able to find people in case we need them. The only challenge is resources. The moment you have resources, then you are able to get these guys.
Yeah. And talking about Catherine Nanzi representing Uganda, the first female boxer at the Games, how important was this, and what does it mean for Ugandan female boxers?
Yeah, it is a big success story for Uganda because it's the first of its kind. It had never happened. And also for us as a federation, it shows our efforts came to play, and those are the results. But also this inspires more other female boxers that it's possible you can make the Olympic Games. And we have so many, because when we came in, there were not many girls doing boxing. That was around 2018. But now the number has increased because of the success stories of Nanzi. So we hope if we keep like that and we are giving them hope and progress, we'll have more female boxers.
That's Moses Muhanji, the president of the Uganda Boxing Federation. And he spoke with Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala, Uganda. And we'll hear the second part of Magume's interview with Moses Muhanji later this week.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm telling the parents out there and the girls who are interested in boxing that please, parents, support your daughters in any sport, anything they would like, so that you do help them with the first blessing for the game. And the girls out there, please be disciplined and fear God first, because in fearing God, there is where you get the knowledge of everything and the blessings. And please be authentic to yourself, believe in yourself, and always keep in mind that everything is possible.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat Music Show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Still on the African boxing beat, Samuel Tachi took home a bronze medal from this year's Tokyo Games, Ghana's first Olympic medal in 29 years. In this Sunny Side of Sports Olympic highlight, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori has reaction from the Ghana Boxing Federation president.
The 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games came to an end on Sunday, August 8th. And at the closing ceremony, Ghana's only medal winner, Samuel Tachi, represented Africa by joining International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach and others on the podium to complete formalities. The young Ghanaian Olympian defeated Colombian Avila Segura in the men's featherweight quarterfinal bout to win a bronze medal, while the hope of adding a medal by Ghana's men's 4x100-meter relay team was shattered after finishing with a time of 38.40 seconds and were later disqualified for a button change infringement. In a telephone conversation with Ghana Boxing Federation President George Okolamte in Tokyo, he expressed a delightful account on Tachi's victory and made a humble appeal to his Ghanaian government and stakeholders to come on board and support all sporting disciplines in Ghana.
That is going to be the work of all of us within the elite finance sports. At least if we were able to meet the minister or the National Sports Authority director, so that we put this request to them that through boxing, we have been able to get a medal for more than years. So we are appealing to them so that at least a quarter of whatever is, we are, as we always say, we are not comparing ourselves to the blaster, but we are appealing that they should give it a little to all the least finance sports, boxing, athletics, all of them, and we could get more. Maybe we are promising them it's not going to be in vain when they give it to us. When they give it to the least finance sport, every sport will come up and we can get more medals.
Also at the Tokyo Olympic Village, I asked Cameroon boxing coach Alain Didier Ngacha on telephone about his mixed feelings on Cameroon going home without a medal.
The Olympic Games are the biggest competition in the world. They require very serious preparation on all levels. First of all, in my country, there is no real gym for the training, no training materials. I say nothing. We prepare the Olympic qualifying tournament under this competition, and I qualified 3 boxers thanks to my knowledge, because I am graduated from the International Boxing Association. Thanks to my training experience and the determination of the children, I am very satisfied with their performance, but they are very insufficient to bring home a medal because of the very poor preparation. This is valid for all the disciplines which were in Tokyo. You realize, since March 2020, after the qualifying tournament for Olympic Games, my boxers only made one competition, the Zone 3 Championship. They had no international competition in their legs. They were absent at the World Championship in 2019. and at the international tournament in Russia in May 2021. They did not take part in the training camp held in Russia just before the Olympics. With all this dereliction of duty, we only prepared this Tokyo 2020 Olympics in 2 weeks in Ita in Japan, from July 4th to July 18th, 2021. It is the fault of all the sport leaders of my country. I blame all of them.
That was boxing coach of Cameroon, Alain Didier Ngacha. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori reporting.
My name is Coach Ofori Asari, the head coach of the national boxing team of Ghana. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African athletics, Kenya's Jocelyn Chepkoske says she's motivated to run even faster after winning the London Marathon women's title Sunday in a time of 2 hours, 17 minutes, and 43 seconds. Jocelyn was making her debut in London, and it was her third career marathon after winning in New York in 2019 and a second-place finish last year in Valencia, Spain. In an interview at the World Athletics website, the 27-year-old Jepkoske said, and I quote, "The marathon is like a book. When I started running the marathon, I opened the book in New York. And every time I do one, I'm learning so much." In African women's football, the continental governing body CAF recently held the draw for its inaugural CAF Women's Champions League. The 18 two-week tournament is scheduled to kick off in Egypt on November 5th. Samson O'Male reports.
As host of the maiden edition of the Total CAF Women's Champions League, Wadi Degla wants to keep the trophy at home. Reacting to the draw result, which took place at the CAF headquarters in Cairo, head coach Will El Sayed made it clear that all 8 teams have ambitions to win the tournament, but his side is hoping to take the title. The draw, which was led by CAF Director of Competitions Samson Adamu, with the assistance of Nigerian legend Perpetua Nwokocha and the captain of Wadi Degla FC and the national women's team of Egypt, Aliya Zenoki, will have the opening game between host Wadi Degla FC, 12 times Egyptian champions, and AS Mandi, Wafu A qualifiers champions and 3-time champions of Mali. CAF Director of Competitions, Samson Adamu.
This is a very historical moment for us in CAF, and especially even from an organization point of view, to see a continental competition. And now we're here, and CAF is actually the second confederation to have a fully-fledged CAF Women's Champions League continentally. So this is great for us. Let us look at the 8 teams that qualified to this competition. We have, of course, Wadi Degla, our host, and we have the champions of Kusafa, Mamelodi Sundowns, and Hasaka Ladies, the winners of Wafu B, and the second team from Wafu B, Rivers Angels, and we have from UNAF, the second team, Hasfa Clubs, the champions of UNIFAC, Malabo Kings, and Sekafa, Vihiga Queens, and Wafu A, RS Mende.
Ali Zinoki, who plays for Wadi Degla, explains why the CAF Champions League for Women is important for the development of the women's game on the continent.
And I'm so proud that the first version of the Champions League will be taking place here in Egypt. And I'm even more proud that Wadi Degla, my club, is taking place in the tournament, and about who we are most likely to play against. I think all of the teams are good teams. They're the league champions of their nations, and I think let's see what the tournament brings to us.
That's Elise Zanoki of the Egyptian Women's Football Club, Wadi Degla, and she was speaking in Cairo. And thanks to Samson O'Malley for that report.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Be sure to join me on the next Straight Talk Africa. What does a free and fair election really look like? And what are the actual signs of a rigged voting system? We'll look at examples from across Africa, the Americas, and other parts of the world. And we'll examine whether complaints about elections and efforts to thwart voting rights can make people lose faith in democracy. Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Thanks, Heidi. Straight Talk Africa is broadcast on Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In U.S. auto racing, black driver Bubba Wallace has made history at NASCAR's Talladega Super Speedway in the southern state of Alabama. The AP's Tim McGuire reports.
NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace avoided a wreck and shot into the lead of the Talladega 500 Monday, just a few laps before the rain returned and ended the race, giving Wallace his first victory and only the second ever NASCAR win for a black driver.
There was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders.
Wallace says he's not concerned about being criticized because he won a rain-shortened race.
Now it's, well, he's got to win because it rained. Everybody knew it was going to rain. We were able to make a move there to keep us out front, and the caution fell at the right time.
NASCAR Hall of Famer Wendell Scott was the first black driver to win a top-level race in 1963. Scott's grandson, Warwick Scott Sr., tweeted after the race, "RIP Wendell Scott, congratulations at Bubba Wallace." I'm Tim McGuire.
Thanks, Tim. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Bubba Wallace, whose win at Talladega also delivered a first NASCAR victory for basketball great Michael Jordan. Jordan co-owns the team for which Wallace competes with three-time Daytona 500 champion Denny Hamlin.
It's great that these guys get to enjoy a victory, and I hope that they spend this next week or whenever just really soaking it in and enjoying it and celebrating.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Mike Conley, who won a gold medal for Team USA in the men's triple jump at the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. Mike is celebrating his 59th birthday on this Tuesday. He was born in Chicago, Illinois. And in addition to that gold medal in 1992, he won a silver medal at the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, as well as gold at the 1983 World Championships in Stuttgart, Germany. Mike also played basketball in high school and college, and he passed on his love of that sport to his son, Mike Conley Jr., is a point guard for the NBA's Utah Jazz team. But the elder Conley gets top billing to end the show. Happy 59th birthday, Mike Conley Sr. And that wraps up the October 5th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.